Blog Talk Radio.
Now I'm
my life's been easy, no. But nothing's gonna keep me down, no, down. Cause I know a lot more today than I knew yesterday, now. So I'm ready to carry on.
Alafia, greetings, African family. And we know it's going to be an uphill battle, but the greater part and the difficult part is almost over. And what do we mean by almost over? We mean that we have climbed the greater part of those hills and mountains, ladies and gentlemen. As we think back on our lifestyles, each and every one of us, as we come from the same culture, some of us, and many other cultures, we know the struggles that we've gone through then, and we also know the ones that we still have yet to climb. But it's very important that as we look back, we don't feel sorry for ourselves. We look back not with remorse in our heart, but look back with accomplishment of the things that we have succumbed. I don't know about you, but most of us, the Spirit comes and gets us and tells us what we should be doing. I know it does for me. Whenever there is a task that I ask to complete before coming to earth, the Spirit comes to me and reminds me of those things that I promised to do. And I have to be obedient to the Spirit, and I'm telling you, you've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. Tonight we'll be talking about lifestyles of the African American. We've talked about the marriage, and we've told everyone what redemption plan we need to put in place. And we've even invited a guest out to talk to us about relationships and how we can deal with the men in our lives. Now, we're not going to beat up on the men anymore, and we're not going to tell them what they need to do. But we certainly are going to continue to speak to the little women in the house, because we know when a woman changes her mind, she changes the mind of the nation. Now, I know a lot of you are familiar with foster care system, and it is so touching and near and dear to a large, greater portion of African Americans. I want to talk about that tonight, because there is beginning to be a commodity on our children, and businesses are cropping up all over the place with the intentions to service our people. We are now the new commodity, African Americans. For whatever deficits we have, it seems to be other races of people have a cure for it. We've got to start finding the antidote for our own urban cities problem. We can no longer let someone come into our bedroom or into our homes and discover the solution for us. We must develop a lifestyle. When we have a lifestyle, just anyone can't come into our customs and tradition and into our community and provide us with a service and make a profit off of us. They know that we are the most combustible person who is willing to circulate the dollars outside of their community. Now, what am I talking about? What are you talking about, Omi? I'm talking about the oversaturation of the children that have been placed in a foster home. It cries out to me at night, because sometimes I have dreams of the dreams that I might have went there one day. And by the grace of God, I was able to deter that little journey. So every time I think about those little children who are being taken from their homes, pulled away from their loved ones, and sent off to ship, it's another slave movement, is exactly what it is. And anyone out there that knows what a custody battle is and what damage it does to the family, it affects the lifestyle of the child. Sometimes the child can't smile, and sometimes the child doesn't understand why must they separate from the people they love. They don't know that a drunken mother or a dope-infested mother doesn't love them when she wakes up every now and then to put her arms around those children and to protect them from the elements of the earth. All they know is that that is the best that she has to give. We're going to have to do a better job of working with our infected families instead of taking the children out of the home. I know this best and firsthand. For those of you who know my story, know that I was once a potential foster kid. But because my sister put her foot down, she said no family member of ours have any business going into the system as long as we have extra beds in our house. I wonder how many of you are still saying that, and how many of you from the old school who intercepted those children from going off to other institutions, shipped away, never to be seen again. To others who take those children, they become a job, a commodity. Now they've stepped into another whole venture, creating visiting facilities for the families to come visit the children like they're strangers, and taking tax dollars and government dollars and providing fictitious homes away from home and allowing the government to issue money to them for providing a temporary taste of lifestyle for those families. Those programs should be in our community. Yet when the black man gets out of prison, most of the time he can't find his family so that he can arrange for visitation. And sometimes it's so far on the other side of town, he can't get there because he doesn't have a vehicle. Well, there are laws and regulations that regulate the visitation for that prior convicted felon. There are laws that protect him so that he can go visit his children. Now, what are you saying, Omi? I'm saying that many of us are going to transition this earth. We're not always intended to live forever, all of us. And if we do, has arrangements been made for your children to go stay at another family member's home before they get caught up in the court system? Try going over to the court system and going to the family law department and look at what's going on with our children. The youngest child is the one that we protect. And you know, on this show, many times I've talked about helping babies from the bench, helping the youngest child. It is my mission and my calling, because no one else can speak to that topic better than I can, because I know it firsthand. And when a child goes through a custody battle, it remains in their mind for a long, long time. It's very important that you should know, family, we have a lifestyle, and we ought to create that. We ought to have a lifestyle that is so comfortable for that child and centering that child in the middle of the family that the child is the most important thing, not our men, not our boyfriends, and not our girlfriends. And once we determine a lifestyle, no one can take up arms to pull a child out of our home again, because we'll be giving them the best practice and we'll be providing for the child before anyone else gets provided for. How do I know this? Because for many years, my family was assistant to helping foster children escape the death that was awaiting them. For many years, my sister stood in the gap for other families so that their children can be circumvented to have a lifestyle. Now, what is a lifestyle, you ask, Omi? What is a lifestyle? How do I know what to provide for the children? The main thing you must provide is plenty of love, as if the child needs to thrive off of love and kindness. And you must provide protection. The child has basic needs. You must provide the basic needs. A lifestyle in the home must mean that the child has a right to a solemn home that has harmony, a home that shows and exemplifies caring, loving people. So many times, mothers, you get these boyfriends in your life that want to fight all night and fight all day and put their hands on you and the children, and you have to escape from home to get some help. And so many times, mothers, you have been drunken overnight that you cannot come home and be a proper mother. So what are you talking about, Omi? I'm talking about a lifestyle for the African American. A lifestyle for the African was one where the village concept came first. Work was no stranger to any villager. Everyone was taught how to work. The problem with the African Americans and ourselves today, most of us have not been taught how to work. We've been taught how to wait for the system to provide us with something. And now we're saying, where are the jobs? The majority of us who can work and have the work ethics probably won't get a chance to work, but it is our reasonable right to work if we desire to do so. But first you must be taught how to work and what exerting energy does for you. It gives you a sense of pride and a self-centered sense of respect for yourself. But the child at the center is why you work so hard to provide for that child so they don't go neglected. But so many young children here in this state, I know personally, in Indiana, have gone lacking and without. And mothers have walked away from their children and threw their hands up with dismay, as if the system bore these children and they're responsible for them. No, they're not. You must provide a lifestyle in your home. If you are not capable of getting a home, then hook up with one of your stable, able relatives and pay 50% of the rent and put your family in the home with them and stay stable, stay working, stay able. Because if you don't, the system will step in. The least abuse they see, and the children will be taken away from you, and they are your heart. They're your heartbeat. They're your life. And when you lose your children, you give up on yourself. What I know most about is the family structure, because I see many families that could have been carted off to the foster system, but my sister stepped in and said, no, these children won't be going to the foster system. Even when you have to go and embrace the court system and go to court for your loved ones, go to court and keep on going to court. Because when you see the court system set up to penalize and slap the hands of some and others be incarcerated for long periods of time for lesser crimes, you know you must go to court to fight for your children. The aim is to put them in other people's homes and pay them a salary. They become a commodity. They become a job for someone else. Even down to getting clothes from the system to provide them with. Will they adopt the children? Sometimes not, because it's just a job for them. Now, children must be loved, and they must be told that somebody loves you, baby. And they must be held. And they must be set on the knee of a father without penetrating them or hurting them. And they must be caressed and told that they're beautiful. And from time to time, you must look them in their eye and say, I'm going to take care of you. Nothing will happen to you. I'm going to take care of you. Children need to know that they have security. But what is happening to our families? We buy these beautiful, big, luscious cars and fine, fancy minks and coats and look the part of a movie star. But when you go to the homes of some of the people, there's nothing there provided for that child. The child doesn't have a hot meal and even a place to lay their head sometimes. And sometimes they're abused. And sometimes they're shaken up, even the infants and the younger ones. Sometimes they're scalded. Sometimes they're slapped and hit and pushed back. And sometimes they're told, I don't want you anymore. I never had to go through that. Boy, if you could see my childhood, you would know I was blessed beyond measures. And every child should be able to write about the beauty of their childhood and how they had a chance to stay an infant or a toddler or a preschooler and enjoy their life. But most of our children are suffering. I had to turn my head to the wall. I couldn't take it any longer when I saw the abuse being perpetrated on these children and time again speaking to the mother, going to the home, trying to show her, trying to teach her. I found that it was a lost battle trying to teach class and teach the mother in the home too. So I opted to retire early and come out and to make my lifelong journey one that would help and assist the families. Our families need a lot of work. They have forgotten their skills, their tactics, and procedures for a lifestyle. So you say, Omi, what is a good lifestyle? How do I know what I need? What do I need to do to provide for a good lifestyle? Do I need to have lots of money? No, you don't. But you have to have good common sense to understand that the child needs basic four foods. The child needs to you need to understand that child needs to be cared for in a way that you do the proper maintenance for executing the child's checkups, the child's intervention for their basic essential things, such as their basic shots in order to enter school. They don't need to be tagging in school at 6 years old for the first time because you have been too busy getting your life together that you never got the baby their shots. There is so much nonsense going on amongst our families, you wouldn't believe it. I got a phone call while in the classroom asking me to come and intercede as a mediator to help some of the children to become placed in homes. And I didn't even know who the lawyer was, but my heart went out to him because these were our people. Now, how many of you are social workers that have the skills and know what it takes to create a court team, to go in and talk to the judge and tell the judge, I know you're not familiar with the smallest child in the family. You might not even know what the child needs. But we are a specialist team, and we can bring you the best practices for these infant and toddlers so they're not further abused in the system. Sometimes they continue to be abused in the system. Not purposely all the time, but because most of the various workers are not familiar with the best practices of an infant or toddler. If they're not thriving, if they're suffering from grief, they're not able to detect these symptoms so they know how to create an antidote for these children. They go on abuse. And they have no real homes to go to that are permanent. And sometimes they're split up from their brothers and sisters. Now, what is happening? What is really happening? Is this designed by plan to break the families up? This is the last warfare, is to break the families up and break them down. Families can stay together. I want you to know that, people. Families can stay together. I had a family of three families that stayed together and purposed in their heart that we would be committed to the family and nothing else until the children were raised up and sent off to college. Can it still be done now, you ask Omi? Yes, it can, with a made-up mind and a contrite spirit. Our system has gone to the pot. We have judges that are over inundated with family issues. So many that they don't know how to judge whether to put the child back in the family or not. They would rather take a chance on a stranger placing the child in a stranger's home and believing the stranger won't harm the child. But sometimes that child is molested again and again, and they go on and keep those children in the system knowing that they're being further abused. How do we stop the madness, you say, Omi? How do we stop the madness? We stop the madness by, first of all, making sure that you're ready to bring children into this world. And don't tell me you need another child because you are going to be paid a welfare check. If the churches knew that every young couple was a potential counseling victim in the church, they would counsel those children while they're still yet teenagers and get them into counseling classes for the engagement so they don't jump into having children that they can't care for. Now, the court system is overburdened with all of these children that they can't care for. Who will care for the children? Will we give them to strangers? Or will they be placed at the center of the circle and be protected? The way we do that is we create a lifestyle in the home. And some of these people in their homes are tucked away, and they're living abnormal lives. And someone, as a social worker, needs to get in there and needs to find out, how can I help the family? But is anyone going there these days? No, they're not, because they don't want to go in the hood and they're afraid to. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for station identification.
Hey, Jim. Come on, don't it seem like I'm always there when it matters?
All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. I want to do a dedication to the family and to the most youngest child in the family that might be suffering tonight. I'm told that every minute there's a child abused, and every second there are children being taken out of the home. And if you're a teacher, we all have an obligation to make sure that we intervene on behalf of any abuse in the schools or in our neighborhood when done to a child. And I'd like to pour libation today for Oladulamah Ray, that he will intercept in these homes and assist the families. And I say Ashe. I pour libation for my father's spirit, that his spirit will reign and that his spirit will come back and reconnect the family. And I say Ashe. I like to pour libation for my mother's spirit, and that her spirit will be present amongst those families today, that she may assist and guide and give them instructions of how to have a lifestyle in the home. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I light a candle for my mother's spirit, that she may be guided home. I light a candle for my father's spirit, that he may also be guided back to his proper place at the head of the table. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that every household that is missing a child tonight and that is waiting for a child to be placed back in their home, or that is out seeking visitation rights for their children, especially for the male who has not seen their children and who is desiring to see their children, it is my prayer that society will look at their issues and their problems, and that they will be visited by Oladulamah Ray to give proper instructions for heading up a lifestyle in the family. It is my prayer that every father that is exiting the prison now is finding a way to set up the proper guidance for reconnecting back to the family for visitation rights. It is my prayer that every family represented here today that is going through a struggle with their children and is on the verge of making a decision to give their children to the state, or who is on probation to lose their children, it is my desire that you will come to your senses, that you will gain wisdom, and that you will be taught the proper way to head up a family and to guide that child through life so that there is constant and consistency in that child's life. It is my prayer that you will come into consciousness and right knowledge, and your code of conduct will be acceptable when in the presence of the children, that there is not to be any foul play or any abuse whatsoever. May the children be protected and guided and set aside for your good, Father. And we thank you that you have set these children aside for the purpose of your good use. And we say amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this particular topic is on lifestyle. Now, we know that In a lifestyle, there is appropriate places for every family member. The mother must know her proper and appropriate place in the family lifestyle. She must know that she sets at the head with her husband in duality, and that her husband must assist and aid her in whatever decision she has for discipline and reigning and rearing the children, and that she must not come against her husband when a decision is made, and there must create a united front amongst the children in guiding them. The children are not to be utilized as someone that is used for the benefit of the adults. The child has a purpose in the family, and that purpose in the family is to bring joy and happiness and to be protected. It's very important that families understand that you can't sit children outside of the road and leave them, and you cannot keep bringing children in this world not knowing how you're going to take care of them. There has to be a plan for children to come into this world. And that is why I eagerly indicated that there is to be no appropriation the first 5 years that you're maturing in your maturation and the first 5 years that you're preparing for that little child to come. When you put that kind of emphasis on making preparation for a child, you don't tend to abuse them or hurt the child. You tend to understand that they're a gift from God. So it is not important that you should have children immediately. That is why the birth control pills were given, so that you can plan your children. It's very important that you should understand that it's not that you're being selfish that you don't want to bring a child on this earth the first 5 years, because you're maturing. And it takes, I'm told by a black psychiatrist, for you to be almost 30 years old before you fully mature to maturation where you can rear a child properly. However, if we can't get to that age, we could at least wait 5 years to develop ourselves and our plan for our children and prepare all the things that that child needs. Now, this is the youngest child in the family that I'm referring to, that we should make sure that proper preparation is done. Some of the older children can steer and rear for themselves, but it's very important, parents, that we understand our children are not to go into foster homes. Our children are to go to family members. Even if you have to ship them off in other states and cities and possibly countries if need be, but not into homes of people who don't love them and who don't know them. If we are giving our children up to anyone, we should be somewhat out of our mind, because without a purpose to rear your own children, you have no purpose on this earth. And if you are giving your children over to the system faster than you can deliver the children, you are out of order and need chastisement. That is why chastisement has come upon the African-American family, for us to revisit and reactivate our marriage vows for the 21st century and our lifestyles. And that is what we're trying to do, create a plan. And that's possibly why these visitors that are coming to visit me and speak, God is holding them back, because there's things that I need to talk to you about. It's things that we need to get down with the get down on, because we have some work to do, family. We cannot be an African family and say we love our people when we don't love our children. It is interesting how you love your children will tell me how much you love yourself. If you say you love God who you've never seen and mistreat your children, then you don't love God. It's very important that we never put a man before our children. We never go out of our way to put that man out front before our children. Our children must always come first in our life. Children are a gift from God, and we must make them a gift so that they will go on to carry the legacy, and they will live out the expectancy of our dream. We must depreciate while the children increase in numbers, so that their names and the glory of all the children will express how rich you are. That is why we appear to be so poor, because we're poor in our spirit. You don't have to have filthy lucre to be rich. Be rich in your spirit and your fortitude and your codes of ethics and your desires to make for a better world and a better lifestyle for your children, and great and good friendships. These are the things that make you rich. Your children make you rich and add no sorrow to your life. Why do we have so much sorrow on this earth? Excuse me. Why do we have so much sorrow, so much unrest? Because people are dissatisfied because their children have been taken away. They can't smile. They've lost their smile. Their baby has gone, and they don't know where she's at, and they haven't seen her, so their heart aches. Well, there's one that can take the pain away. If you confess to God that you need him to intervene in your life, to assist and aid you to create a better lifestyle, and if you confess to God that you want to do better and you need his help, he will give you the help you need. Stop turning to a bottle. Stop turning to dope, pharmaceutical drugs. Stop turning to these temporary fixes. Your permanent fix could be in you making a commitment to live a lifestyle, to have a quality of life. We can do this, but we must depend on each other to do it. We can no longer let our children be carted off to courtrooms and have them adjudicated over and have them fought over, and constantly parents are losing their parental rights. We have got to come to our senses and realize our little jewels, our little children are our life, and without them we are nothing. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand it's going to be a long, long journey and an uphill battle. But the journey has just begun, but the fight is almost over. We must understand that this war that was raised against the black family, we can pick up our warfare, and our warfare is not carnal. You must fall to your face and on your knees and cry out to God for redemption for the families that are still going through. And those families that are out there and still going through who have lost parental rights, it's okay to cry about it. It's okay to even have gnashing of teeth. If you try to do right and somebody misconstrued what you did and you're standing in the righteous lane and somebody still took your children, then call out to God tonight. His energy is in the atmosphere for those who are waiting for their children to come home. Decree that your children are back with you and that you change your lifestyle and that you no longer have to go to fictitious home to greet your children, but you greet your children in the presence of your own home that you prepared for them. Now make sure that you are on the up and up with the system and you're following their guidelines and regulations. You do not want to be caught up in the system, because once you are, you could be as right as two right feet. But because you're there, you can be treated like an outcast and have to go through. And many of you are going through that are innocent. Many of you are going through that haven't done anything wrong. But you are going to have to snatch your children back out of the pit of hell. And you're going to have to confirm in your heart that your children you will live for and that your children you will raise up into the stable to stand on their own two feet. Now, it is my wish that you would go and be able bodies, and God is able to provide for you. If you lean not on your own understanding, let him direct your path. He will do it for your people. Let him do it for you. I know he will. Let's join Mary in talking about the battle is still yet to be won. But we can do it. We can stand together and stand strong. And we will find a way to get through this thing, because I made it through. Look at me. I'm the living proof of what a potential foster kid could have been. I'm the living proof. And my life has been a journey, but I've been blessed to have happiness. No child should have to go through a bitter lifestyle. No child should have to miss their parents. No child should have to miss out on the season. And the seasons are upon us right now, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to say that you don't have to go and buy your child all the toys in the world. The holiday is upon us, but give your child all the love you can give them. Give your child every ounce of love you can give them. And spend your time with your child showing and teaching and directing your child. And stop spending so much time in the streets and going out with other significant others. Put your child first. Your child will come back and grow up to call you glory. Your child will stand out in the courtyard and make you proud. You don't know the feeling that you could get from having a successful child who's been reared well. I was very fortunate. I had both parents and mothers in the home. Never had to spend one day in a foster home. It was decreed that I wouldn't. It was promised that none of our family members would, and we never have. And we grew up to be something and to talk about family life because we know something about good family life. I wouldn't be able to tell you this unless I had experienced it for myself. I want you to go and be good to your children. I want you to go and take up time with them. I want you to put your arms around them and look into their little eyes and tell them you'll never leave them and promise them that it will be okay. And tell them that nobody will come in another car and take them away where they'll never see you again. And address their problems. Address their problems. Don't look it over. This battle that we're going through, the battle is of the Lord. It's not your battle. Give it over to God and tell God, I cannot do it by myself. Ask them to send your children back home to you. Ask them to bring your husbands back. For those husbands that are gone and who have walked away from their parenting responsibilities, I decree that you will come back home to your wife. I decree that those children that have taken away falsely will start to come back to the home. Decree a thing and stand on it, and God will carry you through. I know you will. I declare you will. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for going with me this evening on this special topic of the lifestyle for the African Americans, not the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Have a good evening, and old Dobbin.